General Soleimani, in view of his fellow combatants. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. January 3rd, 2020 was the day when the great Satan, the United States, committed the heinous crime of assassinating the greatest commander of the Front of Resistance, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. This dastardly act of terror plunged not only Iran, but all free-spirited people in the world. Yusuf Zadeh, the writer of the book Maybe Before the Morning Azan, was one of the soldiers of Martyr Soleimani during the 8-year Iraqi war against Iran. He had been captivated by Saddam's invading army and was imprisoned in Mosul camp. He writes that the most heartrending news after the news of Imam Khomeini's passing away was that of General Soleimani's martyrdom. The struggles of General Soleimani can be divided in three phases. The first phase was during the 8-year imposed war in 1980s. The second phase was in early 1990s in the east and southeast of the country for cleansing the region from rebels and counter-revolutionary elements. The third phase included almost one decade of his struggle against Takfiri al-Qaeda and Daesh terrorists who were directly and indirectly created and supported by the U.S., the Zionist regime, and their cohorts and accomplices in the Arab world. Martyr Soleimani, as an unmatched commander, attained various successes and brought security to the regions in Iran and Islamic countries, especially Iraq and Syria. During the war, he would design the best smart plans for battle, while he was the pioneer in implementing them. He, like all other commanders of the IRGC and the army, would always go first and then tell his forces to follow him. One of his fellow combatants says, "His office of command was the battlefront. He was always between our forces and the enemy forces. And the souls of his forces were very dear to him. That's why he would take over all operational designs, from reconnaissance of the battlefield to directing the forces with high sensitivity, and would send his forces to the battlefield after fully studying the information of the war scene and the enemy situation." The second phase of Martyr Soleimani's struggles included the post-8-year war years. His friend and fellow combatant, Hassan Pelarak, says, "When the war ended and Haj Qasem came to Kerman, the issue of insecurity of the east of the country was raised. The leader said, 'Is not Qasem Soleimani there? Let him take over the job.' The leader's order was ratified in the National Security Council and the IRGC took it over. Then the Quds base was set up in the east of the country under the command of Mr. Soleimani. Martyr Soleimani would think and then act. One day he told me to announce public clemency in Jiroft, Kahnuj, and areas apt to mischief. He wanted to announce that whoever had weapons and had committed an error, he would be safe provided that he introduced himself and submitted his weapons in 3 days. Some protested, but Haj Qasim said, I have said this and I insist on it. The very first day of public clemency, nearly 400 to 500 of rebels submitted their weapons. There was a long queue and there were so many weapons that we did not know how to transfer them. Within 2 days, the rebels came and submitted the weapons without shedding the blood of anyone. The region was secure and the entire Kerman province was safe and secure. The third and last phase of General Soleimani's honorable life and struggles occurred in his fight against different terrorist groups, particularly Daesh in Islamic countries. One of his fellow combatants says on his going to Syria, after the start of the Islamic Awakening movement in Egypt, Libya, and Tunisia, clashes broke out in Syria with the U.S. meddling in direction. These clashes began in the regions of Dar'a, Duma, Rastan, Talbisia, Hems, and Bu Kemal and spread rapidly. They turned into armed conflict with the axis of Wahhabi Takfiris against the Syrian legal government. They continued their advancement quickly under the aegis of the US and Saudi regime. Almost all ground borders had fallen and only the Mediterranean marine border had remained. Armed forces had reached Jafr Susa, an area in Damascus, and their snipers could target the dome of Lady Zainab, peace upon her. The road reaching Damascus airport was closed. At this point, the leader of the Islamic Revolution told Haj Qasim, go and help so that the Syrian government does not fall and prevent the formation of innovative Wahhabi Takfiri government. He entered Syria and his arrival thwarted all plots. General Ahmad Karimpour, another fellow combatant of Lieutenant General Soleimani, says, with the courage that he had, he would go into the center of danger, but he was quite careful about the life of his near ones and those who were around him. He would deter all the plans of the enemy with high ability to attain information from them. He foiled the enemy's goal in all countries and put into practice his anti-American will in the face of the arrogance. Secretary General of the Lebanese legendary anti-terrorist movement Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, says on Qasim Soleimani, I envy of Haj Qasim, and I am happy for this and for him. He strove for this goal since his youth. God did us a favor that he lived for 60 years. We are not upset and scared. Rather, his pure blood has become an opportunity for the Islamic Ummah to get rid of this awe and occupation. Even if the efforts are difficult, victory will be close.